Okay, today we have a special guest on our show. She's a LA-based actress that's actually from the UK. We have Francesca De Luca, and she tells us about her journey, her life story from all the way on the other side of the world to make it here in the US, and her trials and tribulations, and how the acting world in LA has a lot more going on than the UK. We had a great time with this one. Hope you guys enjoy it as well.
Francesca.
Hi, Reggie and Ray. Which one is which?
Oh, well, why don't you guess?
Let's see. Guess first. Guess, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we like guessing games.
Yeah. Okay. I think you with the glasses is Reggie.
Oh, is what?
Is which Reggie, one?
Reggie. Oh, wow. Okay.
Good. Hey, you are one out of one.
That was really good. You had a 50-50 nice. Shot. You nailed it. That's really good.
Yeah. So, hi, I'm Ray. Nice to meet you, Francesca. This is Reggie, as you just said. First and foremost, we have you on for 30 to 45 minutes. Is that fair for you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Okay, good. So, ready to get started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. You know, it's not. It's never. It's not a good podcast for us with the Zoom thing unless we have technical difficulties. It's like a tradition.
It is.
Yes. Oh, but
every one that we've had, as far as video, it's been. It's been the case.
It kind of gets us warmed up.
Absolutely. See, yes. Look at that. Watch this. Oh, and now I'm recording. Now I'm recording. Yes. But the podcast was recording. But. Now the visuals recording.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah.
Okay. Amazing.
Yeah.
Hi.
Yes, there she is.
Yeah.
The beautiful awesome. And lovely Francesca. Is it De Luca?
Thank you. De Luca. Yes.
De Luca.
That's
okay.
Right.
De Luca.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you and you are, is it British Italian?
I'm British Italian. Yes. I'm born in London, England.
Yeah.
And I'm Italian origin. So 100% Italian blood.
Okay.
Awesome. Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, a lot of people here in the United States are mutts, so that's good. A lot of mixture. So that's good. You're pure breed. You're considered pure breed.
I suppose I would be. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Yes, I'm pure breed.
Yeah.
But I am. At least I think I am. So.
Everybody's pure breed until they take that DNA test, and it's all over.
Yes, exactly. Have you done that?
No, I don't trust it. I'm with the whole conspiracy theory thing.
Yeah, he doesn't trust the 23andMe and that stuff.
I don't. They put you in the system, and next thing you know.
Oh, the system stuff, right.
Yeah,
right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah. I do.
I just don't want them.
I did it.
I don't want them to connect me to all those bodies. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm good. I know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't feel I need to do it. Like, yeah. I don't know, even if I'm delusioned, I feel like I'm happier that way.
Right? You don't want the evidence. Yeah, you don't want that to change the whole fabric of who you think you are.
Yeah.
And I'm good.
Yeah. So, yeah, so born in England, but I have relatives, cousins in New York.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I visited them about 7 years ago. After not having seen them, you know, for years before that. And that was when I decided that I wanted to come to LA, where I am now, and be an actress here, you know, and pursue my acting dream.
And how's that been for you? The transition, the culture, how's that been?
Yeah, it's been great. I really love living here. I mean, not just the weather. I'm looking out the window right now. It's, 3 in the afternoon, just the blue sky, so beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's just, it does make a difference to me, the weather. There's a helicopter flying by now.
Is that the ghetto bird?
Yeah.
It's very something.
You're not in Compton, are you?
There's two helicopters.
Two helicopters.
You're not in Compton right now, are you?
I'm in Hollywood.
In Hollywood, okay.
So, you know, that can happen.
Yeah.
That looks really, I'm sorry, if you could see what I'm seeing right now, it's just like, what is that? That looks like a really weird helicopter. It's not a UFO or anything, I don't think.
Do you believe in UFOs?
It would be too loud. Too loud for a UFO.
Okay. Do you believe in UFOs?
Yeah, I do. I actually believe I saw one.
Okay.
It's just funny that you happen to say this. When I was about 15 years old in England, I was driving around with my mother in the car. We were like just driving to the supermarket or something. Mm-hmm. And I looked out the window and I just looked above and there was this like silver disc just happened to be flying around and just, you know, it was about a couple of meters above the car, really close. Yeah. And, I was like, I said to my mother at the time, I said, "Mom, there's a UFO above the car." And she's like, "Oh yeah."
So she saw it too. She saw it.
She saw it. I'm not the only one.
Oh, okay.
And I was looking on the news to see if there's anything about it that day, and there was nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Why? Am I the only person who's seen this? Like, or they're just keeping it quiet?"
Yeah.
But yeah, after that, I was like, that looked like a UFO. How UFOs apparently are. And you never know what it is. So, I mean, it was an unidentified flying object anyway. So mm-hmm. I never discovered what that was. But yeah, I believe in that.
I believe in it as well. What about you, Ray? I don't even know. Do you believe in UFOs?
Well, I do. After I watched an interview with a guy named Bob Lazar.
Okay.
I'm pretty convinced that there are UFOs.
Okay. Was that was that pre-podcast or during podcast?
Pre-us podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was before us. Cool. Yeah. Right before us.
I'm just learning about this guy each and every day. I'm like, "Okay, cool. He's cool now."
That's great. I digressed. I went. The helicopter was distracting me,
which is fine. I mean, this is conversation.
Mm-hmm. Onto our UFO conversation, which is fine. But yeah, I was talking about that being in LA. I love being an actress here. I really do feel there is so much more happening than there ever was in London for acting. Yeah. And since I've been here, I've been pretty busy and. Things are going, you know, how I want them to go and the direction I want them to go in. So that's great. And, I love being near the ocean, that there's an ocean to go to that doesn't have pebbles like in England.
Right.
Has the, has everything started opening back up as far as production wise since the pandemic?
Right. A little bit more because they're starting to adapt more. Mm-hmm. Not completely anywhere near it how it was, obviously, but it's like people, they're adapting. Obviously, like more auditions are now just online or self-tapes.
Yeah.
The coronavirus, the tests, you have to have a test before you.
Yeah. You have to do the whole temperature they put on, they shoot you with the temperature gauge to see whether you, if you have a fever.
That's it.
Yeah. And then after that, they forget it the whole time you're on set. And they'll check you anytime after. Yeah. They're like, they just do it to cover their butts. And then after, everyone's walking around with no mask. Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
I did have the virus in March.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm grateful that I recovered from it.
Did you have it bad?
Did I what?
Did you have it bad to get to your lungs?
It wasn't as bad as it was a month. So it wasn't as at home. I didn't have to go to the ER. They just kept saying, don't come in unless you're dying.
Right.
That's the impression I got.
That probably saved your life. Literally, because back then in March, they didn't know how to handle it. They didn't know how to take care of it. And I think they were ventilating people and actually destroying their lungs and was causing the virus to cause more damage. From what I've read and heard. Because they were, they had, they had social media stuff. They had women on YouTube that were nurses saying, "Hey, we are basically like not equipped. They're putting the wrong nurses into the what do you call them? Departments? I don't even know how you would. They're putting nurses that weren't qualified to do certain things. You know a nurse because she's looking like she knows a nurse.
Do I know a nurse?
Yeah. You look like,
I do actually. I do.
Oh, okay. Because you were looking I'm speaking out of my mouth. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. Yeah. I think, yeah.
Well, it was a tough time then, though. I mean, it was a lot going on. No one knew really.
It was, but
they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So they had to just do what they thought they could do. And
Yeah, but they were putting people that weren't qualified for certain, I don't know, the terms.
But who was qualified?
No, but I'm saying, yeah. let's say if you're an ER nurse, or let's say you're this nurse, they're putting someone that's below that that doesn't have the education, doesn't have the certification for that. And basically,
I've got to to say, but how amazing that they did, like, just risking themselves, all the mm-hmm. medical people, like, yeah. Oh my God.
Yes, know? I agree. Yeah.
They were, like, using trash bags to cover themselves. They were making masks. I mean, they sacrificed it all for the well-being of others.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thankfully, I'm still here. So, but when going through something like that, you know, you just appreciate things even more, even more.
Like the ocean and the beautiful blue sky in California.
Yeah, and your connections to people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's what the biggest message was the connections. Once that was taken away, people that were so self-involved with themselves and had the narcissistic behaviors were focusing on family and friends that they no longer had anymore. You know how it goes.
I know.
Once you lose whatever, it's when you appreciate it most.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Put things in perspective, like your life, like having gone through that, the upside is that we've learned to appreciate what matters to us, our values, absolutely. You know, our real values.
Do you think, coming from abroad, an actress in the U.S., do you think you get more opportunities than, to say, an American actress or actor?
No, really? I don't. No, yeah. Because
even with the accent?
Well, now the accent. At first, I thought it's an advantage having the British accent because it's different. There are less of us here.
Yeah.
But I mean, in a way, maybe, but the way the system like works when you're, you know, trying to break into TV or break into the industry, is that there are very few roles for British people that are like smaller roles. The British people you hear of that doing really amazingly are, you know, they're already celebrities.
Yeah.
And they jump straight into the lead roles, and they can be British, but the smaller roles are not normally, or supporting roles are not usually British, you know? And so I found that I learned it's actually better just to go in with an American accent in an audition, unless they specifically ask, oh, this has got to be a British role. You have to be British. And if it's just like a role, you know, it's going to be American. And so I just learned to go in with an American accent as if that I wasn't from England at all.
Oh, really?
Is that hard for you?
What's the accent you put on?
Yeah.
Well, it's just like more of a general American accent, like, do a New York accent.
Can we hear the New York accent?
Let's hear both the general American and the New York one.
So New York. So, because I'm Italian origin, as you know, I often can get cast as an Italian American, or New Yorkers, New Jerseys. So, I mean, I go in as the character. Okay, let's just go. Let's have a go. I didn't insult you. I was merely explaining a phase it was going through. You asshole. I could swear a lot, but I won't right now.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, you like it? You like it?
I like it.
Great. You know, So I go in as the character. And then, you know, so whether it's like Southern, I guess I could do a Southern accent. I don't know where I'm from, but you know,
most American actors that try to do the Southern accent don't know where they're from. It's just
one. Mm-hmm. But, where are you from, by the way?
Me?
Reggie or Ray, either one.
So I am from. I'm originally from Alabama.
Oh, you see, I knew it. See,
could you hear it?
So good. I realized that you were from somewhere like that.
Southern, okay. Huh? You can hear Southern. You can hear the accent?
Oh, yeah.
Is it strong?
Not that strong, but strong enough to hear this.
Certain words. Yeah, certain
very
words
Southern.
Are, yeah, Southern, yes.
Yeah, he's got that little draw.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And Reggie, where are you from, Reggie? Where are you from, Reggie?
This dude always trying to find out information from me.
Where are you from?
Yeah, this is fun. No, I'm from New York.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm from Brooklyn, New York.
You from Brooklyn?
Yeah. There
you go. Is that legitimate?
Ask my wife. She'll tell you.
This guy is like very secretive about his history. Very secretive. Anything because I find out on this show. Every
you know
time.
Why? Because I'm a host, and it's not about me. It's about the people.
Yes,
that's
but,
right.
But your guest just asked you where you're from.
Yeah, I know. She was being nice. She said you, but she meant general. So you answered, and that was good enough. I was going to say, who inspired you to act, or what inspired you to want to be an actress and pursue difficult industry?
Profession, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it started when I was probably... My mother always encouraged that side of me, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
Stella, so, is that correct? Stella?
Yes, that's
yes.
right.
Yes.
She brought me up to go on stage and not be afraid. She said, it's really good for you to go out in front of an audience and people you don't know mm-hmm. and just stand there and like recite a poem or anything. And it's good for you as a person. And she took me to dance classes and then like acting classes. And then when I was at school, I had my first play, my real play. I felt almost professional, but yeah. like a real proper play. And then I was offered, the director said, you're really good. So this is where my hunger for acting started when I got this role. So I was offered the role of either the flirtatious nurse or the 55-year-old hunchback, German owner of a lunatic asylum, yeah. who goes mad at the end of the play.
Yeah.
And guess what role I chose?
You took the hunchback.
Yep, took the hunchback.
Because it was more appealing, more work. I was actually acting.
Yeah, it was like, I was like, could I do this? I'm just going to go for it. And I went for it. Mm-hmm. And my best friend was with my mom watching the play and said, where's Francesca? And my mother said, that's her. That's my mother recognized me. Good, mm-hmm. She's good. That's her on stage with the mm-hmm. hump and like the yeah. white streak yeah. in my hair and, you know, the German accent. That's her. And I was like, that's good. My best friend didn't realize it was me, that my acting was good.
Yeah,
that is real good.
Realize.
Yeah.
So, and but I just, after that, I just felt, oh God, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to just keep doing it. And I just felt from then on, and I just wanted to do it and just act. And I just mm-hmm. felt so like alive and like passionate about it from then on. That's when it started.
Awesome.
And it's not died since? Nothing's discouraged you?
No.
The hills?
There was a time in England where I did dip a little bit, took some time out and went into the music industry a little bit. But that was good for me because then I came back like even stronger,
mm-hmm.
where like I felt disillusioned with the industry in England. I felt like I wasn't like getting auditions or chances that I felt like I should have done. That was, you know, it's a while ago that was, I felt like that. And I felt disillusioned and I kind of ran away for a little bit. And then I just came back like, even stronger, like, no, this is a part of me. This is what I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, this lights me up and hopefully lights other people up, you know, and I'm bringing something to the world, positive, people will enjoy and yeah. feel emotions mm-hmm. from and, whatever role I play, like now everyone's watching Netflix and
yeah.
the, you know, and all of that and HBO and there's so much we're feeding off of, you know, that we're, you know, comedies, dramas, whatever, thrillers. It's like an escape for everyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the world needs entertainment people, actors.
Yeah. Absolutely. Actors, absolutely. Artists, musicians, painters.
Yes. Exactly. And I just feel like this is my calling and I'm going for what is right for me in my life. And that's it.
You recently were in a magazine. Want to talk about that?
Yeah. Yes, actually. Cut Frame magazine. Is that the one you're talking about? I've ordered my actual physical copy, but
okay.
So this was the magazine.
Yeah.
With me. I wrote a piece about auditioning. So, because I want to help other actors any way I can, and I do some coaching as well, coaching acting and British accent coaching too.
Okay.
And a little bit of like life coach within that, life coaching, because I feel that to be a great actor, your mindset is really important.
Yeah.
As well as being able to act. So you have my little auditioning piece. It's about 5 pages where I give advice, mm-hmm. which I was really happy to do.
Congratulations on that.
Yeah, that's pretty damn awesome.
Thank you.
So you said you're welcome. You said you give life coach advice. Is that something you offer or try to give because of the experiences you had as an actor, as far as any lows that you had with your maybe depression, maybe feeling rejected? Because there are plenty of no's before you get that one yes.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly it. Through my own journey, mm-hmm. my own life, I feel I've learned so much and I've grown so much as a person.
Yeah.
And, and will continue to. And I feel that it's part of it. So you just like just being able to be an amazing actor, you have to be able to take any knocks. And it's just mm-hmm. part of it. Like, rejection. I don't think of it as rejection anymore. Actually, I don't see it like that.
How do you see it?
I see that if you, for instance, just having an audition in itself is a great feeling, just to be able to act. And if you're not right for the part, you're not right for the part. That's not personal.
Yeah.
That's their preference, and never know what goes on with that. And I think that as long as we keep on working on ourselves as actors and people, we walk into an audition, people feel your energy straight away.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Feel whether you're desperate or whether you're like
confident in your
career they see so many people, I feel, casting directors, that they pick up on your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've discovered that I myself am. I'm empathic.
Yeah.
And I pick up on other people's energies. Uh-huh. So that I feel that helps me as an actor.
Yep.
And I can bounce off of the other actor more and really get into a role and just like feel it.
Yeah. So you're more so, it's more so organic for you. It's almost it's almost like the, the Meisner technique. So you're just feeding off of that energy then, and then it's given to you off of what your partner is giving you. Yeah,
that's exactly it. It's like Meisner.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't do Meisner because I do this naturally.
Got you.
And it's just something that's evolved and I'm grateful for it. However, for me personally, I do, have to be careful of my energy and that I can keep, I don't pick up too much from other people.
Yeah.
And I don't pick up, and I find it and I realize what my own energy is. And like going for walks, this is what I say to anyone, for anyone who, whether empaths or not, going for walks in nature, spending time on your own, meditating or mm-hmm. working out, doing yoga or anything where you feel good and you feel connected to yourself. And you can release anything else that's going on around you, that really helps me. And I feel, I can help other people if they have that kind of practice too. And they have a more self-awareness and what's going on with them. Sometimes we need time to just cry.
We do. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
and that's it. And we, I feel, must not feel guilty for any of that, any of our emotions. We shouldn't have the shoulds, you know, the should thing of like, you should do this, you should do that. Mm. No, there's no shoulds. Everyone is different. Everyone has their own way of working out themselves.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and that's what's great about us as humans. We are all different and we all have different things to give, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's why you're so giving, as a person, and that's why you want to do the life thing, because you're an empath. When did you know you were an empath?
I started to know a few years ago, and then it's just, I really got to know the last couple of years, especially this year.
Oh, yeah? Did you?
Just started to call myself an empath.
Oh, got you. Yeah, well, I think you have to be self-proclaimed, right? You
just
have to.
Really, like, I know I am, like, yeah. That's it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you know your experiences from relationships, maybe taking on people's energies, maybe your boyfriend, feeling like
when, you're an empath.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I was listening. I was keenly listening.
Yeah. 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 So you know, like with the acting, you know if it's say, for instance, I don't know what your relationship status is right now, whatnot. So let's say, for instance, you're doing a gig or whatever, acting, and then, you have that type of lifestyle outside of it. You have a camaraderie, you have a group, a support group. You know, your relationships, let's say you're with someone that's not an actor. Mm. You'd pick up on them having jealousy because they're not in that group. And then let's say you come home and you're in the best mood ever. And all of a sudden you're drained and you have to hide your emotion because you feel you have to tend to their insecurity first before you can celebrate your success or whatever you're celebrating at the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so aware of what other people are going through that has been a little weakness of mine, I suppose, where I've realized that I feel someone else's pain.
Yeah.
And I feel it so much and that's hard sometimes, and I have to learn to.
You have to learn to shut it off. You have to learn. You have to learn not to be affected by it. Well, you have to like.
How do you do that? How do you shut it off?
You have to teach yourself not to. You have to teach yourself almost like. You can help, but you can't. You can't be the answer. You can't be the cure. It's like I can help you, but I can't. I can't do it all for you because then, you stress yourself out because you literally take that emotion and it bottles up in you. And if that person, it makes you feel worse than the person almost because you really literally feel whatever that emotion they have at the time. And it makes you like, it drives you insane because you're like, oh, how do I fix this? What do I do? And nothing helps.
Is that same for you, Francesca?
Yes. Yeah. You see. Yeah. Right now, I can tell. You know, we're picking up on each other's energies, and
that's why you knew who. It's funny. That's why you knew who Reggie was. Yeah, I already knew that. Once you knew that, she knew. Oh, you're Reggie. I knew it. Like I was like, oh, I think she felt that. I knew that. I was like, oh, she's.
That's funny. Yes. Oh my God. So even more confirmation going on here. But yes, like it is a gift and it can be, I wouldn't say curse, but it's very, very hard. So yes,
it's a curse.
Okay.
Yes. It's a hell of a curse.
Don't want to say that.
It'll age you.
Listen to that.
Nah, it'll age you. It's a curse. It's a gift and a curse. It's great for, I think it's great for being, I think maybe, you know, people like Mother Teresa and stuff like that. If you're, someone that does missionaries and whatnot, I think it's beautiful because you can actually help people that actually need it. And let's say a counselor, you can help people that are actually coming for that help. But I think as far as being maybe in a bad relationship or one-sided relationship, it's poison. It's like, ugh. Mm. You have to be with someone that's not codependent. You have to be with someone that's independent. They know who they are. That way you can own your feelings and they can own their own feelings.
and be, they can own their own feelings. Yeah, that's really true.
Yeah, and I think they pick up on that too. That they pick up on, once you tell them and they see your habit, they see what you do, they use it to their advantage. Like, oh,
that can be the case, yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. And I know that yeah, empaths can attract that. So we have to be aware. And also not to give too much, because people have to help themselves and learn their ways of helping themselves, because it's disempowering otherwise. It's not going to help them in the long run.
Yep.
And we're always just there. So yeah, I've this is one of my biggest lessons, I think, in my life, to learn that. And I need, what I need comes first. What I need to replenish myself comes first. And yeah, and then we can help others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Was your mother also an empath as well?
Oh, that's a very good question. I never thought she was, actually. I wouldn't have said she, I don't think she was. I think I developed that more when I was a child. Actually, the empath thing, not realizing. My father left when I was 2 years old. Mm-hmm. He abandoned the family. So I had like an abandonment wound from that.
Yeah. Are you a middle child?
No, oldest child.
You're the oldest? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And didn't get that one right.
I know. Shucks. Darn it.
But
don't worry, I'm going to cut that out. Oh, so you were the oldest child? Now I can fix it.
Yes, I was. Oh. How did you know that?
Oh, cool. My gosh.
Snipping and everything, editing makes me sound just perfect. Cool.
You guys are...
I always win. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. You said he left at... he abandoned at two.
So, but then I had a wonderful grandfather who was like my father figure. Mm. Who lived with my mother, my sister, and I growing up. And I'm so grateful that I had him in my life. So, you know, I know what it feels like, though, to have not that feeling that you think your father's just abandoned you. Mm-hmm. And at the age of two, it was taking me a long time to sort of understand how that could be. Mm-hmm. And what wounds I might have picked up from that. But, like, now I feel like I've come a long way with that, and you know, and we all heal if we if we allow ourselves to heal, we heal.
Yeah, absolutely. If you forgive, definitely.
What was the best advice?
And forgive.
Yeah.
What was the best advice your mom gave to you?
What
was the best advice your mom gave to you?
Yes. So my mother, okay, like she said, she would always tell me she was proud of me. Mm-hmm. Always. And it always encouraged me with the acting. So she said to me, no one can beat anyone who won't be beaten. Mm. And she always said, you're strong, Francesca, you're strong. Don't let other people like things beat you down. Don't let them. Now, I suppose I learned this is where you, whether what you allow and you know, it being strong, it's easily said.
Yeah.
But I always felt like there was the encouragement, you'll come back up again. You'll come back up. No, if you go down for a while, you let it out, you cry, you cry like, you know, your soul is dying, you know, but then you come back up, you know, and you rise up. And you get your power from your wounds almost, because it's like, no, I want to live a great life. I want to be happy. I don't want to be like this. I will not allow things in my life that are not right for me, you know, anymore. When you grow up, you know, it's up to you who you allow in your life, what you allow in your life. And if we're alone and we're, you know, we find that peace that there is always there whether we speak to God or the universe, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be there. No matter what you're going through, there's peace and there is someone listening. You're not alone.
Right.
You're never alone.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And then once we start to trust that things happen sometimes for a reason to wake us up, to like, you know, mold us into the people that we can be, to be the best people we can be and grow. So I think my mother, you know, she'd be tough on me sometimes. She would be really tough, and she would keep on encouraging me. She'd say, you know, like, work hard, you know, because you can play later, you know, things like that. Like, she put so much of her life into me, mm-hmm. my life, and she gave so much. She gave so much, but sometimes I felt it was too much. Mm. And that's when I had to get away and discover who I was.
Right.
Mm. Too much is what? You think she gave too much?
That's okay, though.
Was it too much?
There's a part, you know, she would give so much, but it was almost like she was afraid for me that I would make mistakes.
Oh, so it was
like how she felt she made a mistake, like, you know, with my
was father. It kind of like coddling you in a sense, or
overprotective? It was like, it was, there was a overprotective mm-hmm. thing that happened.
We call that helicopter moms.
Yeah, it was over, and it was, and I don't, you know, that I accept her for that, because that made me who I am. I had to go out there.
Right.
Like, I kept coming to LA on my own without really knowing anyone here.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of bravery and
very brave. Yeah.
Belief in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've discovered the belief in myself is really strong. And I can always rely on myself, you know, and I'm a good person, and yeah, I want to give great things to the world. Hmm. And then that's something you sometimes have to just learn on your own.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
What made you, did you choose LA because it's just the, you know, because of the Hollywood, because of its history, because of when people think about acting or being in movie and films, the first thing they think about is the Hollywood sign and the marquee and, you know, movie theaters and whatnot, all that, Hollywood Boulevard. And was it that? Because I know there's other places now. I mean, I know there's the Southeast, there's Georgia, that's considered like the new Hollywood and whatnot. So why LA?
That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, 7 years ago, I was like, well, I was thinking about New York because I spent a few months in New York and I loved New York so much.
Yeah. And you have the accent too.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. Mm. I know. I just get really loud when I do the New York accent. And, but yeah, I love the people. I love the vibe. I love the culture. And I feel very sad right now. All the theaters are closed, but they will come back. But yeah, I love New York so much as a city. It's my favorite city. So I can definitely see myself living there, maybe in the future. You know, I could live there some part of the year and then LA.
So bi-coastal? No. Yeah, be bi-coastal.
So yeah, bi-coastal. But LA, I felt there was more filming happening here. And I was drawn by the warmth, the sun. I love the sun.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the brightness of the skies, you know, the blue in the sky. And I love that there's nature here as well that you can go to. So there's a balance.
Oh, got you. So when you went out there, you went by yourself. Was it extremely hard, or did you instantly make connections and find genuine people? Did you find people who are just out for themselves and looked at you almost like a competition?
So I knew there's Anthony Mindel, who's a wonderful acting teacher out here. He's also very spiritually minded as well, about, you know, it, when you act, you bring on who you really are comes through in your acting.
Yeah.
And working on yourself. I mean, I already worked with him in England, so I knew when he visited. So I knew him out here, and I immediately went into his classes at his studio in LA. And that was a great start, because I had a place where I could go, where I could meet people, like-minded people straight away. And that was really nice to have that. And then gradually I just got used to, again, I faced a lot of fears with myself, but having gone through that, I feel like I've purged a lot, and I'm more ready now than I've ever been to have the success that I know I can have. I feel like there's more progress to where I want to go right now. So, I made some friends, and there were some people who I felt weren't so genuine, and it was easier to make friends in New York, though, I have to say.
I guess New Yorkers don't BS, I guess.
No, they're real.
Yeah, well, I like that. No BS, right. I like that. Yeah. No BS.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are who you are, and that's it.
Pretty much, yeah. If they don't like you, you'll know. Yeah, if they don't like you, you'll know, and that's it. Yeah. They'll paint the picture for you.
Who inspires you? What actors?
What actors inspire me? Oh, my God, there's so many. Okay, actors. I love Adam Driver. I loved Marriage Story.
Okay.
I love Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. Robert De Niro. You know, all the people, Scorsese.
Yeah.
There's so many. I've actually wrote a few people down. I like Laura Linney, Ozark.
Yes.
I really like that.
That is a great show.
And she started out in theater. She was more so a theater actress,
too. Oh.
Yeah, she was.
Right. Yeah.
Have you done theater, right? I mean, eighth grade play? What was the play?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's done that.
Yeah, I've done lots of theater.
So you love theater. Do you love theater more? Or you like film, or you love them both equally?
I love all of it, but I do think, yes, I love film.
Why is that?
Because I love the fact that if you're really in the moment and you're living that role, you can see into the eyes. And I feel like I like having a close up. I mean, when I watch movies, I love to see into someone's eyes.
Got you.
And I like the fact that other people can see right into my eyes, into my soul.
Okay.
That would be your empath speaking then.
That's pretty deep.
You like the intimacy of that. So I know with theater.
Being vulnerable, I like that.
Yeah. I think, it's all, especially for the film, for the art, that's the best part. That's the best time to be vulnerable. It's you're giving.
Yeah.
Literally, you're giving a piece of your soul when you do a certain role, I think.
Certain role.
Yeah.
I love comedy. I love comedy as well.
Oh, yeah? Are you good at comedy? Comedy's pretty hard.
I think I might be good.
Where's that confidence, huh? Where did Stella put you, huh? Where's that confidence?
Okay. She'd be like, no, what you're talking about, Francesca? Of course you're amazing. You're amazing.
Gotta love moms.
Okay. So that's the British thing, isn't it? That's like, yeah, I'm good. That's the British talking. And then the New York one would be like, I'm fucking amazing. I'm just so great. You will just love me, you know? I have found that, I had an acting teacher in England who said to me, Francesca, you made me laugh so much when you do the comedy stuff. You could make $1 million out of $1 million pounds out of comedy. And I was like, really? Wow. Huh. Yeah. So I realized I am good at comedy. Yes.
Got you.
I've been in a few, like web series and little, TV things.
Yeah.
And I was on A Good Mythical Morning pretending I was a fake psychic. pretending I was a psychic.
Yeah.
But I was a fake psychic. Although maybe I really am a psychic.
Possibly.
Maybe. What is the worst advice you've been given?
Okay. It's got to be this really bad acting teacher I had when I was first starting out, who said to me, do it like this. And did me an impression
of what of you wanted
I
to do.
Play the part, and I had to copy exactly.
Yeah.
It was one of my first Shakespeare roles that I did. I was like, Oh God.
That like leaves no room for expression.
No.
Kind of puts you in a box.
Right. And I did it. And it was like, this doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Doesn't feel right.
Did you go back and tell him you want your money back?
No, this was for a play. Oh. I was actually, they're being directed for an actual play, which I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. No, there's another one that beats that. Okay. I just realized I was flown to, it was Orpheus and Eurydice, this movie I did a long time ago. And the director just said to me, give me more. This is film. And I had just learned some film acting like techniques and like just like be and like let it come through and minimal really. Mm-hmm. And so he was like, more. And he would just keep telling me to like, and he said, use your arms. And I was like, I was in a cave in the just outside Athens, almost crying.
Sounds exhausting.
Yeah, we were filming in a cave, for like 24 hours filming. Just it's okay. I mean, don't mind filming for a long time, but it wasn't a whole other experience. I was a sorceress in this film, and I had my own altar. And I had like a fake rubber snake that I had to shake like this when I did some magic.
Yeah.
It wasn't a real snake. It was just like this rubber snake I had to make look real. And it's kind of funny. And then I had to redo one of the shots where I got really angry and like when like that's all everything on my altar. They had to redo that because it hadn't been recorded. So I had to like piece everything together. Where all my candles and things were. Anyway, these are stories that there's too many stories.
there's always stories.
It wasn't the most inspiring experience, but it was fun going out to Greece and playing a sorceress, even though I think I would have made it a little bit less dramatic.
Gotcha.
Do you have anything you're currently working on right now? Any projects, upcoming projects or anything you're working on right now?
Yeah, well, I'm actually in the process of getting my green card, which is a big thing. So I'm getting everything together for that. Yeah,
congratulations!
You didn't have to marry anyone for it, did you?
No. I haven't got it yet. I'm in the process of of getting everything for it, and that's I will get it. I feel like I will.
If it doesn't happen, just get a ring on it.
I have a lot of people saying that to me. I'm a romantic.
Faster process. I'm just saying, if you love the States and the paperwork's taking forever and you get rejected, get someone to put a ring on it, you know?
Yes, we'll see about that.
I'm looking out for you. I'm looking out for you.
So he says.
Yeah, but there's a movie that someone wants me to be in. It's like a supernatural type of movie.
Okay.
I'm hopefully be filmed in the south somewhere, like New Orleans or something. Like that.
Yeah.
But we'll see about that. I'm hoping that will come. That will actually come about if they're trying to get money for it. So.
Right. Okay.
Did you have to audition for that, or they just liked you on another project?
Liked me on that's another
awesome.
Project.
That's awesome. And that's you know, the thing about that is, I know you complained about the sorceress 24-hour shoot in Greece.
No, the shoot, I didn't mind the 24 hours. It was fine.
I'm just saying, no, but my point is, it's always a setup. It's always a setup. It could look like a setback, but it's always a setup. You never know. Either it's preparing you, as far as mentally and improving your skill, or someone on that set or someone or this project will be seen by this person that'll like you for a certain project. And next, you know, you're shooting with Martin Scorsese.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. And I wasn't, and you say like that, I did work with one of my dream directors, Francis Ford Coppola.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
Awesome.
Yeah. How was that? How did you get that? Tell us about that.
Oh, that was amazing. I Yeah, I actually found the audition myself, that he was looking for people who were Italian origin, mm-hmm. and who also had done theater and film, both, because he was doing a new filming technique called live cinema, which is like a cross between the two. And anyway, so I was like, is this the real Francis Ford Coppola? Like, really? Like, mm-hmm. I'm able to even see on Actors Access that he's looking for people? What? Mm-hmm. Really? The real one? And it was. Uh-huh. And I got an audition with him. And I was like, oh, my God. Okay. But then I was about to go in the room to the audition, and I realized, like, through the door, I was looking in. I was like, oh, my God, that's really him. That's... Mm.
Yeah,
that's him. He's there in the room right now.
Right.
That's Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh.
God. And then I was so nervous, I started shaking. So yeah. I walked in the room, and he was so warm and shook my hand. And in the times when we could shake hands. Mm-hmm. I said, piacere, which is pleased to meet you in Italian. And he said, and I spoke a little bit of Italian. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% fluent. I can get by in Italian.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely talk about my heritage, Italian heritage. And I said about my grandfather being like my father figure.
Yeah.
And that my great-grandfather was a famous artist model for the Pre-Raphaelites.
Oh, okay.
So lots of paintings like The Light of the World, which is in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. My great-grandfather was Jesus in that painting.
Oh, wow.
It's like Christ, Jesus knocking on the door. Wow. And that's my great-grandfather. And that's very cool. I explained that to Francis, and he said, so you could say your great-grandfather was Jesus.
Yeah.
He had a sense of humor, and I soon relaxed in his presence. Mm-hmm. He was really genuine. He was looking me in the eyes. He was really warm and really lovely, lovely person. And he told me I reminded him of his own daughter, Sophia Coppola, and I was so moved that he said that to me.
Wow.
I said he reminded me of my grandfather, who I meant in a really good way.
Yeah.
As you know.
Yeah.
And then he said right to the casting director, she's right for this part. And I couldn't believe that what I was hearing, that he actually said that.
Was that right then? Right then at the audition?
After I auditioned.
Wow.
He said to the casting director, in front of me, she's right for this role. And I was like, I couldn't, after I walked out the room and I
couldn't scream? Think about it. Did you scream?
I was like, did that really happen? Yeah. I didn't scream, but I could have easily screamed. Yeah. I could have easily screamed.
That would have shown desperation. Never scream. No, I'm kidding.
Never scream.
No.
That's right. No, I was like, no, I got this.
Okay.
But no. But then I couldn't think about anything else for the rest of the day. And then I was supposed to be at Tribeca Film Festival for a film that I was in a movie there and a premiere there. I was supposed to go there like on the Saturday, but then I had to cancel that because I got the callback.
Mm, wow.
Of course I would cancel to get the callback with Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
And what was that movie again? What was that?
Well, it was called Distant Vision.
Distant Vision.
It was a live cinema production.
Okay.
So yeah, I got a role in it with him. And like I said, my experience of theater was really important because he would be filming for long periods of time. Like, you know, when you're in a play, you're on stage for a long time and you have to really just be in the zone and really just keep focusing. And that's good training. And so this was like being in a play almost, where he would let you just keep playing, keep going, doing the scene for a long time and not stopping. And that was just an unbelievable experience working with him. The best experience of my life.
Mm. To date.
Yes.
I like that. Exactly. Uh-huh. To date.
Yeah.
But that is something that it's a film you won't be able to see. It's not out there.
Okay.
It was actually shown to a private audience.
Gotcha.
Of his friends and people in the industry, because it was to help him with this new innovative technique, filming technique, gotcha. And sharing what he had learned from that to people he had known who he, you know, who he wanted to see it. It was based on a true, his actual life story of his family growing up in New York. Mm. So, you know, that was interesting. The actual script was based in New York, and some people are actual Italian characters and some were New York characters. So that was a perfect role for me.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, I might work with him again in the future.
Or someone that was on that set, or someone that was in that production, or someone that was a producer, one of his friends that he showed the films to.
Yes.
It's little seeds that are being planted. Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. And then my mother said to me, when I told her about it, she said, "Oh, tell him he can come over to England and visit us, and I'll make him some food."
Gosh, moms, yo, moms.
So sweet.
Super sweet and amazing.
So sweet.
Yes.
Moms are always like that. Wow, that's great.
She said, "Tell him he was right."
Oh, my goodness.
He was right to choose you.
That's awesome. Gotta love mom. You have great, sound like you have a great support system. Is your mom your biggest fan? Is she your only support system? Or do you have, like, other relatives besides, I know your grandfather, he's passed, right, obviously?
Yeah, her grandfather and her mother, they passed on the same day.
Wow.
Oh, thank you. You read all of that.
I did.
Wow.
They did. Mm-hmm. And sorry, then my mother passed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. My on the same day, but it was like the 19th of April. So that was this last year.
Wow.
My mother, unfortunately, she got COVID.
Sorry.
And then, you know, and I had to stay here. And it was really tough. Not being able to physically go to the funeral.
Yes.
And they weren't even allowing funerals then. They were just having burials with if you wanted a priest, you could have a priest, which we did.
Tough.
But I got my friend of mine to actually go there,
mm-hmm.
in my place. And we set it up beforehand that I would be on WhatsApp on my phone.
Yeah.
As if I'm there. Like, so my friend would be holding the screen up, and I would see everything happening.
Yeah.
And I would even be able to talk. So I gave my tribute through WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Wow.
With the phone. And then people could hear me talking.
Right.
A few people that were allowed. It was only about 5 people allowed at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my all in that. And I know my mother would have was there listening to me. It didn't matter that I wasn't there physically.
Yeah.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know she would have felt it.
Yeah.
And I believe in life after death. So.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
We
go on. We're just energy, right?
Mm,
we're spirits.
Yeah.
We're just a vessel. That's it. We're in a vessel. So yeah. I agree.
But I was very grateful to have had a lovely conversation with my mother a week before she passed away. That's the most precious conversation ever to me. So she told me how proud she was of me, and I told her how proud I was of her.
Mm. Cherish that. Yeah, cherish that moment.
That's an awesome exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Mm.
I think I had a feeling in that time that I was holding on to every word that we were, she had a sore throat then, but it hadn't really hit.
Mm.
So I was holding on to every word that she said to me. And I think she was holding on to every word I said to her.
Wow.
Yeah, this has been a crazy year. I mean, just countless things. I even had a neighbor who his wife fell to COVID. And just like you as well, he could not visit her in the emergency room before she died alone in the hospital. It's been a real tough, crazy,
heart-wrenching, heart-wrenching.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I could go on and on about it, but it's sad. It's very sad.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. But it's like, I find like my strength is, she was so proud of me, no matter what. So I'm like, well, I'm just going to live my best life. And I'm going to make myself happy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Yeah.
I know she wants me to be happy. I make myself happy as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And if I can give happiness to other people, that's so precious.
It is.
Absolutely.
That's all we want.
That's it. Definitely. I mean, that's you giving back. That's the only thing. If everyone just thought like that, just imagine how the world would be if we're not all takers. So it's good that there's people like you out there that are giving back, not just with your art and your passion, but you're giving out with your time and compassion, which is amazing. So, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Is there anything else you'd like our viewers to know about you, our listeners to know about Francesca De Luca, about Stella, about your wonderful grandfather, about your career, anything else you want our listeners to know about you?
I could talk about this for ages. I could talk about them for ages. My grandfather was someone who he was born with no, like, his family had no money. Mm-hmm. They were extremely poor. And I am inspired by his life because he was what I would call, my mother would say, a fighter. He would, no matter what, he would bring himself up. And like, all his family died around him when he was, like, very young. Like, young. His brothers died. There was a similar thing to COVID happening, I think, around that time. Mm-hmm. But he ended up being the only one of his family alive. His sister died. His brother died really, you know, young. The only one standing. And he was like, I'm not giving up. I am going to make a life for myself. He saw the artist models. His father used to take him to see artist models.
Yeah, okay.
Not artist models, to see the artists while he was modeling. And he said to me, I'll always never forget those people gave me advice, like fatherly advice, and how to make the most of life. And he said, I never forgot that advice. Mm. And he said, he built himself up. He started his own business. He married someone he loved, you know.
Yeah.
And he was a wonderful father figure to me. So I am so grateful for having had them in my lives. And even though they're not here now, they're still with me inside because they're part of who I am.
Exactly.
Like, so let's say, for instance, like people wanted to reach out to you as far as your life coaching, you know, to hire you for life coaching or
acting coaching
and accent and British
accent.
Yeah.
Where
would they go?
Yeah. If I wanted to, if I want to get rid of my Southern accent and learn.
He needs that.
Accent. Where could I go to find?
Yeah. Jones? We need to broaden our audience. So yeah, he definitely needs that.
Yes. I can definitely help. So I'd love to. So, you can go to my IG, my Instagram is Francesca the Actor, and also I have another one I recently started, Francesca the Coach.
Oh, okay.
So my main one is Francesca the Actor.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So if you want to join me there, send me a message. I'm also on Twitter, Francesca_film.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyone feel free to send me a message and I'm happy to help you.
Okay. And if the green card doesn't work out, then yeah, they can send you a message too.
Okay.
Well, this has been wonderful, Francesca.
Yes, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
Well, my pleasure too.
And thank you for sharing about your mother and your grandfather as well.
Well,
yeah, thank you for being open with us. Yeah, this is very, I mean, I think we had like two days of deep conversations.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely gets you. So thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe next time I come on, it will be like lightness.
It's fine.
No, this is what we want.
Come on, as you want.
I'm not apologizing for that, but life goes.
This is what we want. We want you.
This is.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. We want you as you are. Yeah. Yes. We want everything.
So it's cool. No, it's fine. I'm just saying we just had some, it's been deep two days right now. Yeah.
Pretty deep.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
It's cool listening to people's story. I mean, yeah, we've learning now to
I'm learning about him and you. Both of you guys are empaths and.
Yeah, but. I'm saying as far as us interviewing people now, we're learning more to let story be told and let the narration go. I mean, we're picking up listening skills more, I think. In these things, I guess, you know, so that's why it's just sit back and let the interview go a certain way instead of trying to control the narrative. And it's pretty cool what you find out.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I've been a real pleasure.
Thank you for your patience. Yeah, yes. Thank you for your patience because technical difficulties is the word. Yeah. Yes. And just so you know, we had like a full up with the recording, but we have you on the podcast. So the camera kept going, obviously, but the Zoom thing just filled up. So I just want you to know that. But we have you audibly. Fine.
Okay.
Because I have you on the board. We have you on the board. So visually, we don't have you. But we'll have you again, and we'll
take care
of this. We'll take care of that. Okay, because
we
got to get you that. Got to get you that green card, girl. Got to get you that green card.
Don't worry, it's coming.
Okay.
I trust. You know, whatever's supposed. The fact that I've even been here, I'm here right now. Like it. I'm getting my visas through. It's been really tough.
Yeah.
To do the process, but I've kept doing it, and I'll continue. I feel like I'm meant to be here.
Absolutely. So. You've been here 6-7 years. I mean, you're meant to be here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
You know, you're here. Definitely. This is your home. So
it is. It is.
You know, welcome home.
Thank you.
Have a good
Thank
evening.
Thank you so much. Yes. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Welcome. Have a good evening.
Bye, you Francesca. Too.
Thank you.
Good evening.